Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey-yo, 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 hey-yo. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey-hey-yo, hey-yo, hey-yo, hey-yo. And all living creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey-hey-yo, hey-yo, hey-yo, hey-yo. Ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be. And we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings. Nahastan anila nijonne go shavothya, nijonne go shavothya. Hey, hey, yo, hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. Hey, hey, yo, hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh.
Akwe, greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending native lands and indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanamatakwasin, to all of our relations.
Yeah. music from the drum Black Lodge off the Canyon Records CD, Spomokin Nan. The name of that song was Indian People. When we hear the words Indian people, it is important to understand that the term refers to indigenous peoples that have our own distinct tribal nations that were here in what's now called North America long before colonial invasion. The word tribe, referring to a social division of people whose members share ancestry, beliefs, customs, history, and geographic territory, originates from white man's terminology, referring to us indigenous peoples. While in the modern era, we American Indian people now use that term, it is important to understand that our meaning of the word tribe as Indian peoples is that of sovereign nations. That means Native peoples' tribal nations should be recognized as member states within the world community of nations. Tribal nations should have the same equal rights of all other countries, such as sovereignty and self-determination. We should not be considered as some cultural minority governed by another nation state. Unfortunately, this human right has been denied tribal nations for some 517 years of colonization. This disrespect and disregard of Native nations still continues, now in the new millennium, under the term globalization. This is an issue of human dignity and human rights. Ashkwe, greetings and hello everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yaut Kitishi Native Center. Today's program is entitled Defending Human Rights, Human Dignity, Voices from Amnesty International. Yaut Kitishi Native Center is not only dedicated to fighting for Native rights, especially sovereignty and self-determination of Indigenous peoples throughout the world, but also fighting for the dignity, justice, equality, and human rights of all peoples. Human rights have always been a basic principle of Indigenous societies. Native cultural, spiritual lifeways have ethics and traditional laws that have always ensured dignity, equality, and justice within our tribal nations. The sacred Quahog Wampum treaty belts of Eastern Woodland Indians, such as my Wabanaki people, exemplify how our ancient codes of conduct guide and teach each generation to have reverence for all life, as well as concern and respect for all peoples. Historically, human rights in Western societies have generally been categorized into five focus areas: civil, political, cultural, economic, and social rights. We at Yaut Kitishi Native Center, like other Native peoples, consider the health of our Mother Earth, the well-being of our planet's environment, and equally important universal rights. Human rights, as defined in the 1984 Universal Declaration of Human Rights, should be the promise of everyone. Unfortunately, even now, in 2009, 61 years since that historic declaration, many people do not have full human rights. Indigenous peoples, women, children, some religious communities, and a number of marginalized minority populations are examples of those who are often denied full human rights. On December 10, 1948, United Nations General Assembly Resolution 217A adopted and proclaimed the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. It consists of a preamble and 30 articles. Due to time constraints, I will only read the UDHR's preamble. The full text is available online by a Google search of Universal Declarations of Human Rights. Universal Declarations of Human Rights Preamble. Whereas recognition of the inherent dignity and of the equal and inalienable rights of all members of the human family is the foundation of freedom, justice, and peace in the world, whereas disregard and contempt for human rights have resulted in barbarous acts which have outraged the conscience of mankind and the advent of a world in which human beings shall enjoy freedom of speech and belief and freedom from fear and want has been proclaimed as the highest aspiration of the common people, whereas it is essential if man is not to be compelled to have recourse as a last resort to rebellion against tyranny and oppression, that human rights should be protected by the rule of law. Whereas it is essential to promote the development of friendly relations between nations. Whereas the peoples of the United Nations have in the Charter reaffirmed their faith in fundamental human rights and the dignity and worth of the human person and in the equal rights of men and women, and have determined to promote social progress and better standards of life and larger freedom. Whereas member states have pledged themselves to achieve, in cooperation with the United Nations, the promotion of universal respect for and observance of human rights and fundamental freedoms. Whereas a common understanding of these rights and freedoms is of the greatest importance for the full realization of this pledge. Now, therefore, the General Assembly proclaims this Universal Declaration of Human Rights as a common standard of achievement for all peoples and all nations, to the end that every individual and every organ of society, keeping this declaration constantly in mind, shall strive by teaching and education to promote respect for these rights and freedoms, and by progressive measures, national and international, to secure their universal and effective recognition and observance, both among the peoples of member states themselves and among the peoples of territories under their jurisdiction. And that was the preamble of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Violations of human rights are often perpetrated by governments or non-state actors that carry out various forms of abuse. Several examples include disappearances, when people are taken and their situation or location is concealed. The U.S. government's rendition policy is such an example. Torture and other forms of cruel or degrading treatment or punishment. Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq is such an example. Detention of political prisoners, often held without a fair or speedy trial, or a sham trial process that doesn't follow rules of jurisprudence, is an example. The case of Native American political prisoner Leonard Peltier is such an example. Return of refugees or those seeking political asylum to countries they fled from place those persons in great risk and usually subject to abuse. Transfer of persons from one country to another, often done by military or intelligence agencies where the recipient country undertakes human rights abuse. Excessive use of force by law enforcement, including profiling people on the basis of race or ethnicity. Forced military conscription, such as using children in armed conflicts, as seen in many places throughout the world. Deliberate, arbitrary, and indiscriminate killings done by government soldiers or guerrilla fighters. Murder of innocent villagers, like I saw in Guatemala, is an example. The actions of corporations working with governments. The case of Shell Oil and Nigerian officials killing Ogoni organizer Ken Sawawiwa and other Ogoni tribesmen. Discrimination and xenophobia towards cultural or religious minorities, as well as serious gender restrictions and harsh practices towards women, for example, honor killings of women by men. This is why it is necessary to be a part of the worldwide movement for peace, justice, and human rights. This is why organizations such as Amnesty International is such an important global network of people who care about human dignity and freedoms. Yad Kadishi Native Center shares Amnesty International's vision of a world in which every person enjoys all of the human rights enshrined in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and other international human rights standards. This is why Yad Kadishi Native Center has been a longtime supporter of Amnesty International. This year, I had the honor to attend Amnesty International USA Florida statewide meeting. The Florida statewide meeting was very special due to the fact that the majority of organizers and participants were students and youth. In previous national and state Amnesty International conferences I've attended over the years, there have been often only been a few young people in attendance. Yad Kadishi Native Center considers it vitally important to listen and encourage young people. This is why I accompanied a number of students from Florida Gulf Coast University, where I am a lecturer and curriculum advisor. I especially want to thank my young friend, Rob Manaus, a volunteer coordinator of Amnesty International here in Southwest Florida. I encourage all of our worldwide listeners to visit Amnesty International's website to learn more about AI's history, mission, and specific campaigns. I urge people to join Amnesty International to become part of the worldwide movement for human rights for all of humanity. Amnesty International website is www.amnesty.org. Once again, Amnesty International's website is www.amnesty.org. Please listen now to Wolf Mountain Radio's conversation, Voices from Amnesty International. This is your host and producer, Ernest Pritzker. Aho, Kanon Wan Takwasin, to all of our relations. My first guests are two fine young women, Laura and Emily, both seniors in high school. Please introduce yourselves and tell our listeners why you both came to this Amnesty International conference.
Hi, my name's Laura. I'm from Lakeland, Florida. I'm a high school senior right now. I know at my school especially, there's a lack of leadership in this sort of thing, like human rights. And it's really eye-opening to be part of something like this. Things need to be done in this world, and that needs to start with people my age, and even younger. And there needs to be more of an awareness about things. I think with programs like this, it really spreads that awareness, and it's needed.
I'm Emily Tonges. I'm also a senior in a high school in Central Florida. I came because I was interested. I'm interested in people and their rights and the rights that they should have regardless of where they come from. It's just because they're people. I just think programs such as this, these state meetings where you see all these other people who are so excited to help people, I know that's just so vague. I just like to see that force behind the individuals of working to something greater than ourselves.
Laura and Emily, humanity is faced with many serious problems, which will only be resolved by people being willing to work for a better world. This is particularly important for people of your generation. I realize both of you can't speak for all young people. However, do you think young people are concerned for the future? Are there many people of your generation involved in youth activism?
Within my group of friends, I would say that we're a little more aware, but that's just because, you know, those kind of people flock together. But I can, you know, the majority of people my age, they're only concerned with their immediate surroundings, and if they're comfortable, then that's enough for them, and they don't feel that need to go out and help people, and it's really a problem.
How do you feel, young lady?
I definitely say that there is a lack of representation in our age group, the youth movement. I mean, it's big coming up now, the whole push towards youth to be more involved in issues such as these, human rights. I mean, it's such a broad topic. Why can't we be concerned?
I think a lot of it is ignorance and indifference to all of these matters. They just frankly don't care about people. They just care about themselves.
I've been handed a note informing us that the next conference session is getting ready to start, so we have time for only one last quick question. I want to thank you for sharing your thoughts with us today on Wolf Mountain Radio. I'm very honored to meet concerned young people such as yourselves. Laura and Emily, as I mentioned in my previous question, humanity is faced with a variety of serious issues. Many directly threaten the future well-being of all life on the planet. It can certainly be difficult to remain hopeful, considering the scope of abuse being done to Earth's web of life, as well as the many human rights injustices throughout the world. Do you have hope for the future?
I do have hope. I mean, I think without hope, that how can we hope to move forward if we're not reaching for something that may seem unattainable right now? How can we push towards a better world, in a sense, without having hope for that better world?
Thank you. And you, young lady?
Hope's a necessity. You can't go anywhere without it. It's, you know, if you don't grasp onto that, you know, even if it seems so unattainable, like, it's something you have to hold on to no matter what, and can't let others bring you down, like, oh, that's impossible, these things can't happen, because they really can.
Storm, and in the beating of our hearts, in our love so strong, you can feel it in the wind that carries our prayer, and in the sound of our drums, free Peltier, free Peltier, free Peltier. Free Peltier, tried and convicted by FBI lies, and the witnesses they threaten, and the truth they still hide. You can't imprison a warrior for fighting for his people. You can't jail a man for protecting Mother Earth. America, free yourself of your own hatred and fear. America, free Peltier. America, free Peltier. They said the only way to kill an Indian's heart was to put him in prison, locked away in the dark. Well, after 24 years, he's still here.
Sungwi Udisa, creator of this divine and harmonious universe. Is it nadi down with the twin in what care you? Is quinico unic what chrotters? Is it nadi down with the twin you twin? We got in the swaggy, you used it twin in what get your quahnetti quinico toss net won't net narawenta. Hey, we ask of you to come together with all of our brothers and sisters in this divine and harmonious universe to put a loving and harmonious touch to everything that we have in this universe and to help the free Leonard Peltier and to give to us your love and your healing, your understanding, your wisdom, your grace, your balance, your purification ceremony in our life, energy, divine consciousness. And that means that this prayer goes on forever.
Music from the Songs for Justice Project CD, featuring Dennis Harrison, Gabe Horn, Betty Hurst, Ted Williams, Diana Osborne, and myself, Ones Pritzker. The name of that song was Free Peltier. That prayer was spoken by Tuscarora Elder Ted Williams. The Songs for Justice Project created that benefit CD in order to support the efforts to free Native American political prisoner Leonard Peltier. Amnesty International and many people throughout the world have called for his release from federal prison. Leonard has endured more than 3 decades of injustice. The U.S. government has lied, falsified data, withheld information to his attorneys, threatened witnesses, and has mistreated Leonard during his many long years of incarceration. Many longtime listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio have heard our continual coverage about Leonard Peltier. We urge everyone to support the movement to free Leonard Peltier. 2 important websites to learn more and ways to get involved are www.whoisleonardpeltier.info and www.leonardpeltier.org. Once again, 2 important websites to learn more about Leonard Peltier and ways to get involved are www.whoisleonardpeltier.info and www.leonardpeltier.org. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. My next guest we have the pleasure to speak with in today's program entitled Defending Human Dignity, Human Rights, Voices from Amnesty International is Mr. Roderick Colbert from the University of South Florida, USF. Welcome, sir, to Wolf Mountain Radio.
My name is Roderick Colbert. I live in Tampa, Florida. I'm the advisor to the campus group of the University of South Florida, their Amnesty International group. The reason why we're here today is to network with other amnesty activists around the state, also to attend the workshops and to bring the information back to the students at USF so we can work on different human rights issues there on the campus.
Sir, in today's program introduction, I mentioned the 5 general categories of human rights: civil, political, cultural, economic, and social rights, as well as the indigenous people's view that the health of our environment and well-being of all life should also be considered a universal right. I also gave examples of various forms of human rights abuses, many of which are being discussed here at this Amnesty International meeting. What motivated you to become concerned about human dignity, human rights?
Well, I would say certainly police brutality is one of my main interests in terms of human rights. I actually have a grandfather who was murdered in Alabama in 1942 by the police. And I actually found it documented in a book years later. We didn't believe our aunt when she told us this growing up until we found it in the book. But also, too, the full range of human rights. I'm very much an advocate of human rights education to educate people about human rights and how all human rights are interdisciplinary and interconnected.
Sir, I very much appreciate your concern for human rights education and that you are an advisor to the USF Amnesty International Campus Group. I too share this important need to inform and educate both students and the public about human rights, social, economic, and environmental justice, topics I teach as a lecturer and curriculum advisor at Florida Gulf Coast University. This is why I also came with students from FGCU to this amnesty conference and advise FGCU student Progressive Alliance Campus Organization. Yad Kiddushi Native Center considers listening to and encouraging young people to care about our world, to work for planetary peace and justice as one of the most important aspects of our Native Center. This must be an important priority of us older activists, some of whom unfortunately do not spend enough time or effort in mentoring the younger generation. Sir, what is your perspective of youth activism?
What's the real fulcrum of the youth activism is technology. The students really have a handle on how to use technology for their work. You know, we have Facebook, we have Google. All these are tools that students are using for activism. And it's really encouraging because it helps students to know that there are other people like them. You know, we have such a big campus at USF, almost 42,000 students. So when you have this, when you see this technology and you see what other students are involved in, it motivates you want to be involved because you're part of a movement.
When we talk about fighting for the dignity, justice, equality, and human rights for all peoples, it is necessary to speak about all forms of prejudice, especially racism and xenophobia. We indigenous peoples, now called Native Americans, have experienced this hatred since Christopher Columbus washed ashore some 517 years ago. The historic 1493 Intercetera Papal Bull by Pope Alexander VI, where the Vatican sanctioned the colonial conquest of the non-white, non-Christian world by Europeans, was a brutal racist pedagogy responsible for the genocide of many of my indigenous peoples, not to mention dispossession and theft of native homelands in what is now called the Americas. This Vatican Eurocentric racist worldview also created and perpetuated African slavery, causing a huge diaspora of black people whose legacy is still felt today by African Americans, despite the years of struggle for civil rights. To me and many other people of color, it seems that racism and xenophobia are still quite prevalent, not only in America, but also exists in many places throughout the world. Like a virulent disease, it seems that the white supremacy movement has actually grown and expanded in many countries. In what is now called the United States, white supremacy is more known from groups like the Ku Klux Klan and neo-Nazi skinheads. Many Americans have heard of those KKK Night Riders who brutally murdered and terrorized mostly black people, especially in the South they called Dixieland. Disturbing to me is the fact that many Americans are oblivious that white supremacy groups, several of whom I could name, have a long history of violence towards Native Americans. Many anti-Indian groups still target tribal communities, as exemplified in the so-called fishing wars I experienced growing up and which often still flare up even now in 2009. The topic of human dignity, human rights, racism, and xenophobia must also include not only the historic mistreatment of Asian Americans, many of whom built the Western railroads and labored in the mining camps, but also the contemporary work of Asian American civil rights organizations such as the Asian American Justice Center. Many Asians still work in servitude in garment industry sweatshops or the growing sex slave trade. Another serious issue of human rights in America focuses on border protection and so-called illegal migrants. This is a major topic at this Amnesty International meeting. Throughout what's now called the U.S. Southwest, U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, known as ICE, is aggressively detaining and forcibly returning people, predominantly Hispanic, back across the U.S. border. Citizen groups such as the Minutemen are highly armed militias that are undertaking patrols along the U.S. border. Many of these groups are equipped with highly sophisticated communications and surveillance gear. Some of these vigilantes acknowledge their connection to the national white supremacy movement. What's alarming is that these groups seem to be operating with the tacit support of U.S. law enforcement and some National Guard units. People of Middle and Near East heritage in America, predominantly Arab and Islamic communities, especially since 9/11, are being targeted for racial profiling, Homeland Security watch lists, FBI monitoring, and detention often without due process of law. Many of the hard-fought fights for civil rights, civil liberties, have been disregarded or even worse, suspended by the U.S. Justice Department. I hope with a new person of color in the White House, President Obama, racism, xenophobia, and all the other forms of prejudice and hatred in society will greatly lessen and perhaps eventually disappear. Sir, as a black person, a person of color, what is your view on this issue?
Certainly, you know, in terms of having Barack Obama as the President of the United States, at least we'll see the rhetoric out of the White House that will be different. However, change never happens from above. As we saw what happened in Oakland, where the police just shot a person point blank in the back. So the issues will always be there. There's certainly other countries around the world where they have majority black populations where the blacks run the country, but you know, you still see human rights abuses. So, and we always will see human rights abuses based on class and on gender. So what I feel are my responsibility as a human rights activist is to teach how all these different forms of oppression are interconnected. Certainly, you know, oppression that's directed towards indigenous people, towards women, even people of different sexual orientation, and certainly in terms of class. So it's all about educating ourselves.
Across the lines, who would dare to go under the bridge, over the tracks, separates whites from blacks. Choose sides, run for your lives. Tonight the riots begin. Back streets of America, they kill the dream of America. Little black girl gets assaulted, ain't no reason why. News for the prince's story, racist tempers fight. Next day starts a riot, knives and guns are drawn. Two black boys get killed, one white boy goes blind. Across the lines, who would dare to go under the bridge, over the tracks, separates whites from blacks. Choose sides, run for your lives. Tonight the riots begin. Streets of America, they kill the dream of America. Little black girl gets assaulted, no one know her name. Lots of people hurt and angry, she's the one to blame. Across the lines, who would dare to go under the bridge, over the tracks, separates whites from blacks. Choose a fight. Run for your lives. Tonight the riots begin. On back streets of America, they kill the dream of America.
Music from my friend, singer-songwriter Tracy Chapman, off her Elektra cassette entitled Tracy Chapman. I had the honor to know Tracy when Wolf Mountain Radio in the mid-1980s was broadcasting on WMFO FM. Tracy would sometimes visit the studio on Sunday evenings during my show to share her music. We were also active together in benefit events to support Freedom for Nelson Mandela of the African National Congress, as well as Freed Leonard Peltier and other Native American resistance rallies. The name of that song was Across the Lines. The song, sadly, refers to the divisions and tensions between different cultural communities, which at times may have a racial incident that sets off violence towards each other. In many places in America, this separation is a type of segregation. Communities often are literally divided by a rail line, highway, or bridge. For many Native reservations, there is a distinct boundary separating tribal land from neighboring white America. I remember both the geographical and societal segregation often enforced by the police, when we Indians were not welcome in border towns. I grew up when stores and restaurants had signs saying no Indians. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yad Kiddushi Native Center. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. I have the honor to be attending the 2009 Amnesty International USA Florida statewide meeting. I've been speaking with Mr. Roderick Colbert, who is a human rights activist and educator from FSU, Florida State University. Sir, I want to thank you for sharing your views with Wolf Mountain Radio's worldwide listeners. In today's program introduction, I commented on how great it is to see many more young people and people of color involved with Amnesty International. In the past, Amnesty International USA's membership had much fewer people of color. Amnesty International's policies and priorities years ago were not always inclusive enough to encourage us so-called minorities to join Amnesty International. I think it is also fair to say that although Amnesty International campaigns were focused on important but rather narrowly defined traditional human rights issues, Amnesty International's scope of work were not necessarily relevant to the needs and struggles of poor people and people of color whose human rights situations did not necessarily fall in the old categories of human rights abuse and violations. I believe it is very important to have cultural, racial, age, and gender diversity in the social justice movement. I hope Amnesty International and other human rights organizations broaden both their membership and staffing in order to truly become more multicultural, more inclusive. Human rights social justice organizations must also expand their programs and projects that encourage interlinkage between issues. I think Amnesty International's new Dignity campaign to deal with poverty is a hopeful example of interlinking human rights and society. Sir, what are your views on this subject?
Certainly, you know, the rhetoric has always been there that Amnesty has a multicultural development piece. Certainly, you know, the proof is always in the pudding, you know, to see what they're actually going to be able to do. I certainly have always been historically supportive of Amnesty International's traditional work in terms of release of political prisoners. But, you know, we certainly, you know, applaud Amnesty's shift to want to be more relevant in the human rights work, to really get at what's actually causing the human rights problems. Working on limited resources, only certainly things they can do, and they have priorities, but also think they should also see the breadth as well as the depth of the human rights movement.
You are listening to Yatkidichi Native Centers, Honoring Mother Earth and Indigenous Voices. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices focuses on protecting Mother Earth and defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples. We are broadcasting on Radio for Peace International. Radio for Peace is the voice of peace, promoter of the environment, champion of human rights, denouncer of hate and injustice, advocate of the oppressed, defender of truth. Radio for Peace International is global community radio.
Well, dear friends, we are nearing the end of our broadcast time together for this edition of Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. I hope you enjoyed today's show, Program 1 of Wolf Mountain Radio's series entitled Defending Human Dignity, Human Rights, Voices from Amnesty International. My conversation today with Laura and Emily, the two young high school students, and with Roderick Colbert, USF Human Rights Advisor, I sincerely hope gives you thoughts for the future. We encourage our worldwide listeners to care about and work for human dignity, human rights. Please support Amnesty International by becoming an active member of Amnesty International. For more information, please visit Amnesty International's website, www.amnesty.org. That's www.amnesty.org. Persons living in the United States should also check out Amnesty USA. Their website is www.amnestyusa.org. That's www.amnestyusa.org. Please listen next time for Program 2 of our Wolf Mountain Radio series, Defending Human Dignity, Human Rights, Voices from Amnesty International. Well, dear friends, we shall conclude with a song by Mescalero, Ende Apache, singer-songwriter Mr. A. Paul Ortega, from his Canyon Records CD entitled Two Worlds, Three Worlds. The name of the song is What is an Indian? The song is reflective of how even now, in the new millennium, many non-Native people still have an inaccurate, stereotypical, and even racist image of us Indigenous peoples, now called American Indians. This warped view perpetuates prejudice and disrespect of our cultural spiritual lifeways. It also permits violations of our treaties, as well as denying our rights of sovereignty and self-determination, which are a human right, as equal members of the community of nations. Thank you for listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Aho, Kanan Wantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Yo!
What is an Indian? During a normal working day, I answered many questions from non-Indians concerning Indians. The questions vary, and in some cases, poorly stated. but usually add up to one question. What is an Indian? They say he is a person who doesn't work, but gets a monthly check from the government. Others say that he is lazy. Still others say he's a man who got a raw deal from the government. Therefore, he deserves what he can get from the government. Also others say that he is a drunkard, will never amount to anything. So therefore, the government should terminate him and let him make his own way in the white man's society. Myself, I do not see an Indian in the same light as any of these people. I see the Indian as a group of people, all different in their ways, but held together by a common bond called culture. I see the Indian as a group who fought for what was rightfully theirs and branded as savages. I see the Indians as a group who fought courageously against overwhelming odds, and after giving in and signing a peace treaty, lived to see the treaties broken one by one. I see the Indians as an individual who, when their country was in danger, went to the front voluntarily and gave their last full measure of devotion, not only in the Civil War, but World War I, World War II, the Korean conflict, and Vietnam. I see the Indian as a group of people who are proud, and rightfully so, because they possess the secrets of life the white man has never discovered. I see the Indians as a group of people because even in their broken English, they will tell you how important it is to gain an education in this modern world. I see the Indians as people who, when they cross the culture barrier into the dominant society, become the best in their chosen profession, whether it be law, medicine, politics, trader, athletes, or fighting for freedom. And when I think of the Indian in this light, I think of the question, what is an Indian? My chest suddenly expands, and I think I am an Indian.